This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Earthwise, Environment and Peace with Justice interviews on Plains FM 96.9.
Welcome to Earthwise. I'm Lois Griffiths. Martin isn't with me today. He's not well. But for today's program, I feel honored to be talking once again with the very distinguished American legal scholar, Marjorie Cohn. Marjorie is Professor Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, where she taught for 25 years, and she is the former president of the National Lawyers Guild. Now, she's written an article that's caught our attention. It's called U.S. Leaders Aid and Abet War Crimes in Yemen. So welcome to Earthwise, Marjorie Cohn.
Thank you for having me, Lois.
Well, Marjorie, when Donald Trump became president, the first foreign country he visited was Saudi Arabia. In fact, he took part in a sword dance. I just couldn't believe it. It's such an oppressive backward regime. Did this raise eyebrows in the U.S.?
It did, indeed. And there's that incredible visual of Donald Trump with the leaders of Saudi Arabia all touching that orb, whatever it was, and it was quite striking that Saudi Arabia, which is responsible for so many war crimes, would be the country of choice for Donald Trump's first visit.
I think Saudi has had public beheadings.
Yes, they do. They behead people and women at the drop of a hat. And as a matter of fact, when Trump visited Saudi Arabia in May of 2017, he signed a $110 billion arms deal with the Saudi king.
I think there's a woman under arrest now in Saudi that I think Code Pink is worried that they might kill her. I haven't caught up with that story, actually.
She may not be the only one.
Yeah. The article you've written, War Crimes in Yemen, how does the U.S. get involved as part of the story?
Well, just a bit of background. In early 2015, the Houthis seized control of much of the west part of Yemen and forced the president, Hadi, to leave the country. And the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and seven other Arab countries intervened to try to restore the Hadi government, and they are receiving logistical and intelligence support from the United States, the United Kingdom, and France.
And they're getting weapons, too, of course. You've mentioned the
weapons
sales.
Of course. Yes, absolutely. There was a bombing on August 9th, the Saudi-led coalition dropped a bomb on a school bus, killing 51 people and injuring 40 children. It was a 500-pound laser-guided MK-82 bomb, and it was manufactured by Lockheed Martin, which is one of the leading U.S. defense contractors, and the sale of that bomb to Saudi Arabia was part of Trump's deal last year with Saudi Arabia.
I think, we'll just go back a little bit. I meant to talk about the visit to the U.S. It was earlier this year, wasn't it, when MBS, or Mohammed bin Salman, visited the U.S. How was he received, or by whom?
Well, he was received by Donald Trump with great fanfare. I think that the media, I should say the corporate media in the United States, is kind of mixed about this. They don't really understand the role of Saudi Arabia in Yemen, committing war crimes, killing thousands of civilians. And, for example, there was a study done of MSNBC, which talks 24/7 about Russia, and I think didn't mention war crimes in Yemen or the Saudi-led coalition's bombing even once in a several-month period. So I don't think that Americans are really aware of what Saudi Arabia does. When there is an incident where a woman is beheaded, for example, for doing whatever, behaving unladylike in the eyes of the Saudi government, then there is there's publicity here. But in terms of the war crimes that are committed by the Saudi government with U.S. assistance, U.S. bombs and logistical support, etc., there's very, very little coverage in the United States.
Well, I hope your media covers more than ours does. The newspaper just yesterday had the whole front page, our monopoly newspaper in Christchurch, about a cat that might have drowned. Oh, yes.
I mean, I'm a cat lover, but I think we need to keep the perspective.
Yes, no, this war crimes mentioned the most recent bombing. This has been going on for a couple of years, though, hasn't it?
It has since 2015, and the U.S. has facilitated many war crimes by the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. On April the 23rd, earlier this year, Saudi aircraft dropped cluster bombs made by another big U.S. defense contractor, Raytheon, dropped those bombs on a wedding in Yemen, killing 22 people, including children. And these have been going on frequently. In October of 2016, a similar bomb to the one used on August 9th, the bus bombing, in October of 2016, a similar bomb killed 155 people at a funeral hall in Yemen. And it was after that bombing that the Obama administration, which had been giving plenty of assistance to the Saudi government, cited human rights concerns and banned the sale of precision-guided military technology to Saudi Arabia. But when Trump made his deal in 2017 with the Saudi government, he reversed that ban the same month, and the U.S. government reauthorized the provision of Paveway laser-guided munitions in Saudi Arabia. I should also say, Lois, that just yesterday or today, is today the 28th of August? I think it is, or the 29th. But anyway, on the 28th, the UN issued a report that was prepared by the group of regional and international eminent experts on Yemen, saying that parties to this conflict have perpetrated and continue to perpetrate crimes under international law. And they studied the period, it was a comprehensive study, they studied the period from September 2014 through June 2018, and they cited people, leaders in Yemen and in the coalition, this Saudi-led coalition, including the United Arab Emirates, that committed acts that may amount to international crimes. The report cited coalition airstrikes that have caused most direct civilian casualties. These airstrikes have hit residential areas, markets, funerals, weddings, detention facilities, civilian boats, and medical facilities. And the UN experts said that these bombings, these killings of civilians, likely violate three principles of international humanitarian law: distinction, proportionality, and precaution. Distinction means that there is a duty to distinguish between civilians and non-civilians, civilians and combatants. Proportionality means that the military action has to be proportional to the military advantage sought. And precaution means that all feasible precautions must be taken to avoid the loss of civilian life. And the UN expert panel said there is little evidence of any attempt by the parties to the conflict to minimize civilian casualties. Also cited widespread arbitrary detention, torture, child soldiers, sexual violence, UN Human Rights Office said that since March of 2015 up to the 23rd of August of this year, 6,660 civilians were killed and 10,563 were injured, but that the figure is really much higher. Those were just through the 23rd of August.
Mm. It's staggering, isn't it? But there's also talk about protecting civilians. There's widespread famine, isn't there? And cholera in this day and age.
There is. Yemen has experienced one of the world's largest humanitarian crises. At least 22.2 million people and nearly all Yemeni children need humanitarian aid, and it's suspected that more than 1 million people have cholera. And since the war began, at least 6,385 civilians have been killed and 10,000 injured, and airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition account for more than 60% of the civilian casualties.
And they've bombed ports so that aid can't get through?
Yes, they have. They have. And they have been cutting off the ability of the Yemeni people to receive humanitarian assistance, which is also a war crime.
So you're talking about the Geneva Convention? Is that what is meant by war crimes?
Well, yes, the Fourth Geneva Convention lists willful killing and the targeting of civilians as grave breaches of the Fourth Geneva Convention. And under the U.S. War Crimes Act, which is a federal statute in the United States, grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions constitute war crimes. Targeting a busload of children in a busy marketplace is a war crime. And I also should say, Lois, that U.S. leaders could be charged criminally for aiding and abetting a war crime, several in fact, but in particular for the bus bombing on August 9th, under customary international law, which is part of U.S. law. Aiding and abetting a war crime requires three elements. First, that a person or entity committed a war crime. And as I said, willful killing and the targeting of civilians is a war crime under the Geneva Conventions and the U.S. War Crimes Act. Secondly, another actor committed an act that had a substantial effect on the commission of the war crime. And U.S. leaders provided the means to commit the war crime. As I said, the purchase of the bomb that was used in the bus bombing was part of the arms deal that Trump struck with Saudi Arabia and the U.S. State Department sanctioned last year in May of 2017. And the third element for aiding and abetting a war crime is that the other actor knew that the act would assist or have a substantial likelihood of assisting the commission of the war crime. The U.S. military knew that supplying the bomb to this Saudi-led coalition was likely to result in the commission of a war crime because, as I said, a similar bomb in October 2016 in a funeral hall in Yemen, and that's when the Obama administration suspended the provision of laser-guided weapons to Saudi Arabia. That ban was reversed by Obama. What the U.S. military does in Yemen is to help the coalition, the Saudi-led coalition, Saudi-UAE-led coalition, by in-air refueling of Saudi and UAE aircraft. They provide logistical support and share intelligence. And late last year, a team of Green Berets from the United States secretly arrived at the border between Yemen and Saudi Arabia. Between 2010 and 2015, Washington sold more than $90 billion of military equipment to Saudi Arabia.
You're listening to Earthwise, broadcasting in Christchurch on Plains FM 96.9, in Hamilton on Free FM, and in Waikanae on Coast Access FM. Today's guest is a distinguished American legal scholar, Marjorie Cohn. We're discussing an article Marjorie wrote that can be found on several websites, including her own. That's Marjorie Cohn, CoHN.org. And good website to go to if you want to know what's going on in the world. Well, Marjorie, you mentioned American leaders. Who exactly would that be then? Do you mean the president?
And keep in mind that when we're talking about criminal liability, we're talking about bringing individual leaders and officials before criminal courts, not the whole government. So we're talking about the president, Donald Trump, the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, officials in the Pentagon, military commanders, and Congress members who approved and appropriated the money that is being used to supply these bombs. I also should say that members of Congress are very concerned about the U.S. role in Yemen. And in November of last year, the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously passed a non-binding resolution calling on the U.S. military forces to withdraw from unauthorized hostilities in Yemen. And this resolution said the U.S. military aid to the Saudi-led coalition was not sanctioned by prior congressional authorizations. Now, on August 13th of this year, Donald Trump signed the 2019 National Defense Authorization Act. It allocates $717 billion for the U.S. military, but it also includes several provisions to achieve accountability for U.S. support of the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. One provision directs the Defense Department to conduct a review of whether U.S. or Saudi coalition forces in Yemen are violating U.S. or international law. But when Trump signed the bill, he attached what's called a signing statement, basically saying, I will follow that provision if I want. I have a constitutional duty or an authority to withhold information if I think it could impair national security or foreign relations or my constitutional duties. That National Defense Authorization Act also included a section requiring the U.S. Secretary of State to certify that Saudi Arabia and the UAE are making good faith efforts to end the civil war in Yemen, that they're taking appropriate measures to alleviate the humanitarian crisis, that they're undertaking demonstrable actions to reduce the risk of harm to civilians, that they're complying with laws regarding military purchases from the U.S., and they're taking appropriate steps to avoid disproportionate harm to civilians. But once again, when Trump signed that legislation, he attached a signing statement saying, I will only follow that provision as consistent with my constitutional authorities as commander-in-chief and the sole representative of foreign affairs. So he will follow whatever he wants to follow. There have been calls for an independent investigation of the August 9th bombing in Yemen. The UN Secretary General condemned it, called for an independent investigation. Saudi Arabia said, well, we're going to do our own investigation. Mm-hmm. And Defense Secretary James Mattis said, oh, we're going to send a 3-star general to help the Saudis with their investigation. But they really need an independent investigation. And 30 Democrats in the House of Representatives signed a letter to Mattis and the Secretary of State Pompeo and the Director of National Intelligence Coates and asked for a briefing for the House of Representatives on the policy objectives in Yemen, and they cited those two sections of the legislation that Trump attached signing statements to. There were two other letters, one from Representative Ted Lieu, a Democrat from California, who said that he's concerned. He wrote to the Department of Defense Inspector General saying that he's deeply concerned that the U.S. might be aiding and abetting war crimes. And he referenced a U.N. panel of experts on Yemen. This was a prior panel of experts saying that there were widespread violations of international law and that measures to minimize civilian casualties were largely ineffective. And then the third letter was by Senator Elizabeth Warren, who wrote to the head of the U.S. Central Command saying, what did you mean when you said that you can't determine whether the U.S. provided assistance for coalition strikes resulting in civilian deaths?
Marjorie, we're almost just a few minutes left. I'm concerned about the power of the president himself. This act, the National
signing
Defense Authorization,
yeah.
The National Defense Authorization Act, that was brought in after 9/11. Wasn't it meant to be temporary? I mean, the president's
not. Well, the The signing statements were actually initiated by John Yoo, that author of some of the most egregious torture memos, where after 9/11 he was actually advising George W. Bush to put signing statements into, you know, at the end of legislation he signed, talking about the unitary executive. And the unitary executive is this radical right-wing theory, basically saying that the president has all the executive power and can disband the commissions or committees that, that Congress establishes. In the United States, we do have three co-equal branches of government that are supposed to check and balance each other. Both the House of Representatives and the Senate are in Republican hands, and they are just going along with whatever Trump wants, although in November we're going to have an election, and if the Democrats take back the House of Representatives, then you're going to see investigations, hearings, subpoenas. The courts, so we have the three branches, the executive, which is the president, the legislative, the congressional branch, and then the judicial branch, the courts, and Trump is busy packing both the Supreme Court and the lower federal courts with right-wing judges, including Kavanaugh, who is pending now. I want to say that if there were to be criminal charges brought against U.S. leaders, they could be brought in the International Criminal Court. Yemen has ratified the Rome Statute, individual countries can also bring war crimes prosecutions in their own courts under universal jurisdiction, and the Human Rights Council of the UN also publishes reports, and which it results in what we call the mobilization of shame, where the U.S. government is shamed in the eyes of the global community. But the bottom line is that Congress has to immediately end all U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen and refuse to appropriate any funding for arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. The UN report that just came out today, yesterday or today, said that the parties, the U.S. and the U.K., should refrain from providing any weapons or arms, and there should be an immediate ceasefire and diplomatic measures taken to end this tragic conflict in Yemen.
It's been fascinating talking to you, Marjorie, and I really appreciate your time. We're almost out of time. Can you just give us a ray of hope? I'm worried about the power of the president, personally.
Yes. Well, we are very hopeful, many of us, that in November, at least the Democrats will take back the House of Representatives and start to subpoena and convene hearings and investigations of Donald Trump's crimes, which are so long we don't have time to list them all. And they also, three of the committees of the House of Representatives, have the power to order the publication or at least the provision of Donald Trump's tax returns, which could also, reveal evidence of crimes. There is some hope there. Yeah. And there's also a big campaign to prevent Brett Kavanaugh from becoming the next member of the Supreme Court and moving the court radically to the right. I don't know if that's going to pick up any steam because the Senate still has a Republican majority, but there is an awful lot of opposition and resistance to the Trump agenda among the people in this country.
It's the power of the president.
There.
Even with another president, I wouldn't like that power to be available. So I'm sorry to stop talking
to
you.
True.
It's fascinating.
And if Pence is not implicated in these crimes, and he may be, I don't know, he would take over. I think that he would be very, very dangerous. But quite frankly, I don't think that he would start a nuclear war. And I think that Trump very well might, especially if he feels his back's up against the wall. Who knows what he would do?
What a thought to end on. Thank you so much, Marjorie Cohn. I recommend her website again, one word, marjoriecohn.com. That's C-O-H-N. Thank you. Well, what a talk. A wonderful woman, Marjorie Cohn. I hope she can come to New Zealand. So from us at Earthwise, goodbye.